Podcast with Brother Scott. We are thrilled that you have taken time out of your day to explore with us God's timeless truth. Regardless of who we are, we all need the light of God's Word to illuminate our path for this day. And now, here's our youth pastor, Brother Scott.
Hello and welcome back to the Truth to You Podcast. It is round two, Brother Sam.
Yes.
Round two. We just recorded a broadcast.
Well, yes, we're going into TV, folks. Yeah.
That's the news.
Oh, my goodness.
Have a good day. No, we just tried recording. We went like 8.5 minutes, and some of the best content, I think, that will never be heard.
Absolutely.
So it is a little bit of a sad moment.
Had some technical difficulty. Luckily, Brother Scott looked down and saw his audio levels were flatlining.
For a second, I thought maybe this was as bad as being in a hospital room and seeing that flatline.
Yes.
But it was, technology-wise. But we're still alive, and that's what's important.
That is very
important. So we're determined to make this twice as good as the last recording.
Absolutely.
If that's even possible. Okay. What are we doing? Welcome to the Truth to You Podcast.
Welcome to the Truth to You Podcast with Brother Scott and Brother Sam.
And we're here on this Wednesday.
Yes.
March the 6th, and we're just thrilled to be here with you and glad you're here with us. And let's go. Did you bring a joke?
I did.
Bring a joke. Great news.
Brother Scott is going to try to act as surprised as possible when I tell these jokes. To be fair, he did. I think I will get jokes. I'm going to have to find a different one. I'll tell it for the teens, even though you already know.
There were some goodies.
Yeah. Why was Yoda such a good gardener, Brother Scott? And now that you know the answer, you can say with confidence...
Yeah, he had a green thumb.
Oh, that's such a good punchline. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that one.
What do you get when you push a bunch of Easter eggs down a hill?
Oh, well, we didn't go over this one, Brother Sam. I don't know.
I know. I threw you for a loop
you
here.
Did.
Give me a new one.
You get Easter eggs down a hill. Mm-hmm. You get them rolling. What? You get bunny chicken eggs. What? I don't know. Go ahead. Tell me.
You get spring rolls, Brother Scott.
Spring rolls.
Yes.
That's a good one. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The reason I switched to that one is because the last one that I did with Brother Scott that you teens didn't hear was... What is the difference between spring rolls and summer rolls? And the answer, Brother Scott, do you remember?
Yeah, the seasoning.
It is. It's the seasoning.
The seasoning.
And then my all-time favorite, Brother Scott, have you heard about the pregnant bed bug?
Oh, this is such a bad joke.
Brother Scott, would you mind telling the teens the news about the pregnant bed bug?
It's something about the spring. That's all I remember.
Brother Scott, you should remember that she's having her babies in the spring.
That is just really, really bad. Okay, yeah, the bed bugs are in the mattress springs, and the time of year, of course, is spring.
That's probably going to go down as one of my top five that I've done. I know it's not the best thing to think about, but I think that's funny.
It's a comforting thought as I'll crawl into bed tonight.
Absolutely.
Reminded of that.
Absolutely. Oh, moving on.
Yeah, right. Okay, let's go verse that we've been working on, the memory verse here, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. And I'm just hoping by now our listeners have just aren't even second guessing when it comes to this memory verse, because it's just so short. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yeah, one more time, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. All right, that is the memory verse, so let's jump over to the devotional thought. And the devotional thought for this last devotional for the week is just kind of a one-off. We decided to, instead of launching into a new book on the last day of this booklet, we just decided to throw in a devotional thought out of the book of Proverbs, and I think this is a good one. It's a needful one for us to be reminded of, but it is in Proverbs chapter 28. And we'll be looking at verse 13. If you noticed on your printed devotional, my editor mistakenly left the verse from last week in the box there. But that reference is correct. He'll be getting a pay cut the coming week, unfortunately.
I think the important thing is that right above that verse, it says, I need mercy.
Yeah, so
that's
very fantastic. Well, and you know what? You know, that he's a good guy. And probably be merciful to him.
Absolutely.
Okay. Brother Sam, can you read us our verse?
Sure thing. Proverbs 28:13 is the verse this week, and that verse states, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy."
Yeah, what a great verse. What a great verse. You know, when we hear a verse like this, number one, we're probably familiar with it. This is a great verse, and I know I preached out of this verse, and we read through the book of Proverbs quite often as a youth group anyway. But I think the other thing that comes to mind is the fact that our self-righteousness kicks in sometime.
Yeah.
And we maybe think that that verse is talking about somebody else, you know, talking about somebody, well, you know, I don't really sin that much. I mean, you know, I'm a little bit rambunctious at times, but I don't, you know, my siblings, now they are sinners, you know, with a capital S. They're the ones that are doing that. But me, you know, we have a little self-righteousness in that. But this verse doesn't assume that we're without sin. In fact, it assumes the opposite of that. It assumes that we're all sinners. And of course, that's right in line with what the Bible tells us. And so even though we may feel self-righteous at times and want to kind of hold our head high and say, I don't really do much, you know, that's wrong, this verse reminds us that we do. And there is something that needs to be done with our sin, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Every time we sin, we're faced with choice. And that's what this verse talks about.
I was thinking along these lines of the story of Noah, and really like to try to see the Bible from a bird's eye view and see how it connects with just overall themes that go from cover to cover in our Bible. But, you know, as I was thinking about Noah, and here's this, you know, upstanding, righteous man. The Bible presents him as such. The Lord's going to use him in a huge way to deal and to send judgment to a wayward man. And all of that, his family's involved. We know the story. But he's almost seen as kind of like a savior figure, you know. I mean, there are definitely like salvation themes in the story of Noah.
Absolutely.
You know, people were, everybody had an opportunity, you know, to be saved, right, from the flood, and the door was open, and then the opportunity for that closed, and so many, you know, died in response to their decisions. But you get to the end of Noah's life, and it's almost like the Lord, before we end this story of this man who was righteous and who did great things, there's an element here that we want to leave off with.
Mm-hmm.
And that element actually relates to a failure in Noah's life. And what, tell us about that, Brother Samuel.
Yeah, the Bible says that Noah got drunk.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's kind of like, it hits you like, whoa, what?
Yeah.
Like, wait.
You're not expecting, after hearing about this man who was one of the sole survivors as a righteous person, who God said, you and your family are the only ones that I will save because of your righteousness.
Yes.
Then at the end of the same person's life, you have, you know, this sin pointed out.
It's unexpected. And, you know, I'm remembering this now, but I actually had someone, this was a while ago, someone who had recently gotten into Hebrew and they were studying it, and they were trying to convince me that through the Hebrew, Noah actually was not sinning. It was not actually like, I was like, oh, wait a second. Okay.
Interesting.
And I think that's because it's unexpected.
Yeah.
It catches us off guard.
Well, that person was probably trying to justify it. Person, no, it couldn't be. Noah for crying out loud. Yeah.
But why does the Lord include that?
I think God included it to show that Noah is of the same humanity, of the same bloodline that we are. Right? A lot of times, looking back in the Bible, we'll see these, you know, great figures of the faith that we're like, oh, you know, and we feel, you know I've felt so distant. Like, how could I ever, you know, compare myself to like, oh, you know, Noah or David or Daniel.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you see these things that are pointed out where God says, no, they struggle just like you are, Sam.
Right.
And
And that's the story of the Bible. Our sufficiency is never in ourselves.
Right.
It was the one who was sinless. Then the Lord sent Christ, and he bared on him the iniquity of us all. And we're so thankful that our righteousness, if we have some, and we do before Almighty God, is because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Not through us.
Yeah, so we don't point that out to like justify our actions. That's not the point. We're talking about this. We're pointing this out just to simply state that we all sin, and we all fall short. And that's something, that's a reality that we all have to deal with and reconcile with. And actually, this verse helps us in that reconciliation process, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what comes next in this, Brother Sam? So we the verse kind of tells us everybody sins.
Right.
What's next?
So what happens once that sin's been committed, right?
Yeah.
You sin. Now you're faced with a choice of how you respond to the action of sinning that sin.
Yeah.
And the first thing that says is, well, option number one is you can cover that sin,
yeah,
or attempt to.
Right.
Right.
Right. And we've been there.
Yeah.
We've been there and done that. Brother Sam, can you reach back in your childhood at all?
Yeah. So to be honest, I was never the person growing up that was like really getting into stuff and like, oops, I broke that. I shouldn't have done that. And then try to cover up. Like,
yeah,
that just wasn't me. I wasn't like that. But I was trying to think back through my childhood and figure some time, and I know there's many, but just something that I can recall right now.
Yeah.
And I remember there was like, my mom had this, I had to be probably 4 or 5 years old. My mom had like this big blue candle. I mean, it was big, probably, 8-inch diameter or whatever, right? It
has, wow, like, sounds
three,
beautiful.
Three wicks on it.
Oh.
It's about 1.5 feet tall or something.
Oh, I love candles.
And it was... And it was right at eye and hand level,
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I went up to sniffed the candle. It wasn't lit. Was not lit.
Okay. All
and
right.
So I'm just looking at it.
Yeah.
I'm like feeling the sides with my hands. I'm
it's like, nice, you know, candle, it's like, feels good. Yeah.
And just... I was like, then I looked at my fingernail, and I was like,
oh, you didn't.
I know how to write my name
now.
Oh,
you didn't.
And so I scratched a very jagged S-A-M into the side of that candle. Chunks of wax are like falling out as I'm like digging into it.
Yes.
And I like stand back, admire my work. And I realize I can't get rid of this now.
No.
This is there.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. So I decided to spin the candle around and push it back up to the wall of
Brilliant.
The table that it was on. I'm
Brilliant.
Like, right? And I stood back again. I was like, you'll never see it. Well, it was probably the same day that I get in trouble for this. And I got in more trouble just because of the fact, that I did something very dumb, which
right.
was scratching in there. But it was obvious. I think my mom's probably found out that I had scratched something in there because the candle was moved all the way against the wall, right?
Yes, and right. Yeah.
She was
why
are you trying to
there.
Hide this? And that's what I got in trouble about.
Yep, sure. The covering aspect of it. And really, don't we sense the need to do something about our sin?
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's
there's
there.
There's the natural shame
that
you have from
that. There's something comes over us and we want to make it right.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking before the podcast, and this quote has just stuck with me for the past couple of weeks. And I read this quote: "It's sin never wants to be sin; it wants to be righteousness."
Hmm.
And it just like we do something wrong, and we know something needs to be done about it.
Yeah,
you know that guilt is there. And then we choose wrongdoing many times. We choose to do a covering.
Yeah.
Your story sort of reminds me of a story when we were in our town home and the boys were much younger. They loved playing together, much like they do now. And we had a little coffee. It was almost like a pedestal. I want to call it that. Made out of wood. I think my dad fashioned it for us, gave it to us just as a gift. And they were roughhousing in the living room. They broke it.
Mm.
And, they were, maybe the older you get, the more savvy you'd get about hiding places, all right, how am I going to deal with this? And they just took it from the living room into the guest room and put it on the opposite side of the bed, the opposite side of the bed on the floor. So they're thinking, it can't be seen.
Right.
A week later, I'm in the guest bedroom. I walk around the side and I see it in pieces. And then, of course, I bring it to them. And there's like this silence,
right.
and then one of them broke. I can't remember which one. And we did it, Dad, we did it. And we had a big moment there where we're like, okay, let's talk about what we're not going to do anymore.
Yeah.
When we do something wrong or we break something or something like that. And, the classic example in scripture I think about is Achan.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's sort of the poster child for covering. You know, he was told something, you know, don't take anything. We're going to go through Jericho. Don't take anything. He takes something. He takes it back to his tent, digs a hole, covers it over, and then wonder who did that. Wasn't me, you know.
And he wasn't the only one that suffered because
No, certainly. So that's what is the Lord signaling to us through that story?
Don't, you're going to make things worse for yourself.
Yeah, the covering cannot be done by us, the sinner. We cannot, we may try, but we cannot cover our sin.
Right.
As we were kind of talking about that, the aspect of covering here, it says that when we try that, we will not prosper. Mm-hmm. And the word prosper, that has the idea to advance. It's like you cannot go forward.
Yeah.
If you deal with your sin this way. And so that's one side of the coin. Mm-hmm. So if that's not the way that we prosper, although it feels like maybe we will if we can just hide this, what's the other side of that coin?
Other side is what the second half of the verse says, which is, whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So two parts here. So let's break it apart. So first part is confessing, right?
Yeah.
So we need to, as soon as that sin has happened, and I think there's a time importance on this too. Mm-hmm. Do not, most of the time when we're sinning, it's not like we realize a day later, oh, we did something wrong.
Yeah.
Sometimes it could be that we, you know, things are brought to our attention. Sure. But most of the time we know when we're sinning, and we need to take care of that immediately and tell God, hey, I'm sorry. I was wrong.
Yeah, that's
good. Please forgive me. And that is, you know, what you said in here. This is the, you know, the first part, you know, to receiving forgiveness from God and restoring that fellowship with Him.
Yes, right. And not just with God. That's, you know, that's first step. Mm-hmm. But then we have to deal with our horizontal relationships.
Right.
And we have to say, okay, mom, dad, whoever, teacher, friend, you know, Lord's convicted of me of this. I'm sorry. And it doesn't just have to be a broken thing. And those were the examples we sort of used today. But it could be anything. It could be cheating. It could be something of that nature where you have to go back and say, okay, you know what? I don't deserve this grade. I cheated. It's not honoring to God. And I know it's not pleasing to you. I need forgiveness. Will you forgive me for that? And really the idea of this confessing, it's just like agreeing with God. It's just like, You're saying the same thing about your sin that God says about your sin,
right?
And man, is that important to view our sin as what it is?
Because you're not fighting God at that point. You're saying, listen, I agree with you. I am a sinner. I did wrong. You know. You're conforming to what the Bible has said and what God has said.
Yeah, right. I think about the prayer, be merciful to me, a sinner. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Lord Jesus, he gave that illustration in Scripture. Those words are precious, precious, precious to the Lord. And that's the whole point of this devotional. What do we need? We need mercy. Mm-hmm. When I need it. Not Brother Sam needs it. You know, we Pastor Pittman needs it. Okay, we all need mercy from God because we all will and have and probably will continue to fall short. And there's a way to deal with that. And God has graciously made a way for that for us in our lives. Covering's not the answer. We can't we cannot personally cover our sin. God has to do that. Mm-hmm. And He's made a way that comes through confessing to Him. And then what's the second part of this?
Second part is forsaking that sin. And that's, I don't know. For me, I feel like that's almost, and I think everybody's personality is different too, as far as what they struggle with.
Yeah.
But for me, I've always had an easier time, you know, confessing sin, and that. But it's like for me, I just, my flesh is just so prone to go back to that thing, right?
Yes, yeah.
And it's just so hard to get away from that. But you know, obviously, God is not saying, well, I expect you to be perfect from now on, right, by forsaking it.
Sure.
But I think forsaking is talking about doing everything that we can do in our power, but also for asking God for help, right? Because we ultimately, victory over sin is coming from him. It's not from us.
Right.
But there is a portion that comes from us where we have to try.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and I think, so forsaking is, it's so key. And I think that because it's the, what's the end promise? Is having mercy. And I think a lot of times we think, oh, well, if I'm just confessing my sin to God, hey, God, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry about doing that. Please forgive me.
Yeah.
But the verse doesn't say that you're going to get mercy just by doing that. Mm. You have to actually intentionally say, God, I do not ever want to do this again. Yeah, help me not to do this again.
Yeah, going to the Lord for forgiveness, you know, or seeking God's mercy, you know, or confessing does not go with the mindset, I'm going to do this tomorrow.
Right.
You know, I'm making plans to do it. No, you're going to the Lord with, this is wrong, it's... I want to see it as wrong. I want to know it's wrong. I want to believe that it is wrong always, and I have no intention of going back. Lord, give me victory or help me, Lord.
And that's why during, you know, communion, you know, pastor, when he's talking about communion, says, you know, don't take communion if there's unconfessed sin or sin that you're planning to commit in the future, right? Even though it hasn't happened, that shows that, you know, you're not forsaking
that
sin that your flesh is prone to have. So.
Yep, right. And then, you know, even balancing that with, you know, the just man falleth seven times, rises up again. And so it's, like you said earlier, the Lord does not, you know, he's not expecting us to live sinless lives.
Right.
But he is expecting us to seek mercy through the provision that he's provided.
Right.
And that's what this verse is just
It's incredible that
about.
He's done that too.
Yeah, it
just
is.
Just that we have, it you is. Know, and you see the love of God through that. He's like, I know you're imperfect.
Yes.
I know you're never going to be able to achieve perfection this side of heaven, but I've made a way that you can still have fellowship with me.
Yeah. This word mercy, it's the idea of compassion.
Yeah.
You know, so we're actually witnesses to the compassion of the Lord. You know, when he sees that when we've broken his law, the law that he said, do not do this. Mm-hmm. We break that willingly, knowingly. And then we come into his presence and we come the right way, the way he's made provision. And he says, I'm giving you mercy. I'll be merciful to the sinner who stands and acknowledges and humbly admits and seeks my faith. I'm giving you mercy and compassion. And I love you. And that is a way that he shows his love to us. Oh, it's just a fantastic thought.
Absolutely.
And teenagers, you're not the only one who needs mercy. We need the mercy of God every day. And one of the things that I mentioned, and then we can close with this thought, but you know, we're not the ones who can bring that covering.
Right.
Although we want to be the ones. God is the one who brings that covering. And then the Bible also says that love covers a multitude of sins. And so God removes that sin. You know, as far as the east is from the west, in the depths of the sea, he's removed that sin. And you know what? Other people do that for us as well. They're not trying to hide it in a sense of like, you know, well, that never happened. Let's just act like that. No, when we come and we deal with things the right way, and then as Christians, we follow the principle of what it means to forgive and to move on, we find that that means, hey, I'm going to treat that person as if they just never did that to me, said that unkind thought, you know, that unkind thing. And I'm going to make sure that I'm covering, you know, I'm doing that for them. And that is the way of mercy. Yeah. That's the way of forgiveness and compassion. Let's be that to other people, because I know we want that for ourselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything to close us out, or are you?
No, that's, I think that's good.
Yeah. Amen. Let's seek the Lord's mercy today. Before we go, I want to mention our teenager of the day, and it is Nicholas. We're praying for you, Nicholas. Hope the Lord gives you a wonderful day in Him. Certainly, as we seek His mercy. Brother Sam, thanks for being with us.
Of course.
Even though it took two tries.
I know, right?
Hopefully got something the Lord wanted us to spend time talking about today. I'm really thankful you came.
Yep. Well, thanks for having me.
All right. See you guys, we'll see everybody next time. Take care.